I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
Did I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Speaking 200 to 400 words a minute with gusts up to 800. Very nice to have you here on The Doctor Is In. Number to get onto the program has not changed for many years, so you should have it on your refrigerator, the back of your toilet seat, your dashboard, any place that an emergency can erupt. A child can throw a fit. You can wonder about a what-if in your future. 877-57-EQUAL is the number, 877-573-7825, and I just rip through that real fast, and typically, that's why they do that in these infomercials. You ever notice? They give the number 3 times. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Once more, 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to get onto the program. And you'll get the Ginsu knife and the spray-on hair. Offer only good for the next 20 people who call. How do we work this program? Well, you are the callers. I am the callee. I'm a psychologist, office this morning, office tomorrow afternoon. That's where they do the professional stuff. Here we can educate, offer a few ideas, something you can expect, suspect, reject, neglect, all ECTs, E-C-Ts. About a kid, could be about an elderly parent, could be about some turmoil in your family. Could be about a question mark regarding, not really sure how to approach this person. Everything I've tried up to this point has not worked. Which makes it really tough for me to give you something that will work. Because most of you have done very well in exhausting all your possibilities and getting someone to see your perspective, and it still hasn't happened because they don't want to. Nevertheless, one final last-ditch effort. Talk to me to see if we can come up with something together. And if not, I can put my stamp of approval on everything you've tried. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Got to do some thanking here. I want to thank the Legatus in Lafayette, Louisiana. Very nice bunch down there. I've done a lot of talks to Legatus groups, perhaps maybe 100. And thoroughly enjoy them. Thoroughly enjoy them. And then, the next night, I was in San Antonio, Guadalupe Radio Network. Those folks are just something else. They truly are. They've got one fine network, and they're always so hospitable to me, Sean and Sammy. Now I'm at Mario. And they also have a Dr. Ray. This is true. The San Antonio station has a Dr. Ray. They stole my appellation. And he's a psychologist, too. All Ray, all day. And then I also want to thank the very nice folks in Brighton, Michigan. Brighton was a all-day kind of session where I did 3 talks, one on kids, one on marriage, and one on faith. Very nice. So thanks to all of those folk. Most of the time, when we want to sound charitable or kind or nice, we talk nice. Hey, you know, I saw your yard there, and you know the leaves, you got those oak trees nearby, they just clog up your flower beds. That looks like a real labor there. Hey, give me a call. I'll get over there and I'll help you out. All right, let me know. How long has it been since we've gotten together for lunch? It's been 2-3 years, right? Oh boy, one thing leads to another. I don't see you. Okay. So, given that, give me a call. give me a call, or I'll give you a call. And we'll get together. We'll have some lunch and just catch up. Just catch up on things, okay? Now, that's nice stuff. You're going to be charitable, help him out with his leaves. You're going to reconnect socially. It's very nice, right? It's easy to talk that way. My intent is to be nice, be sociable, be kind. And then the phone rings. 3 days later, the phone rings, and yeah, it's the guy with the leaves. Oh, boy, thank heavens for caller ID. That's what I say. You know, I wonder how many times I'm going to be able to duck his phone call. I just don't have the time to get over there. It's been, 6 weeks since I said I'd call him for lunch? Yeah, he's probably forgotten about it by now, right? It is easier to talk nice than to do nice. Now, forgive me for using the word nice. That's such a fluffy word, but suits our purposes for right now. But there's one area that seems to be reversed. That is the area of apologies. For many people, it is easier to act nice than to say, I'm sorry. Acting I'm sorry comes more naturally than saying I'm sorry. You know, I'm more complimentary now, or I'm toned down, or I'm calmer, or I'm going to just show you that I want to move on from what happened yesterday in our argument, or whatever it was that, maybe I should apologize, but it's just too hard to apologize. So I'm going to be a much nicer person the next few days to show you that I'm past it, and let's just move forward. I went to a florist, and I said, I'd like a rose and a carnation, please. Trying to be really cool, you know, because they said that, you know, roses for love and a carnation is for friendship, or whatever that means. I read those books, trying to be sensitive, toxic sensitivity. And she said, what did you do? What? Well, when guys come in here and they order flowers and it's not a special occasion or a birthday, they're usually saying, I'm sorry. Well, you know, that might be other guys, but not me and my wife. Mm-mm. No, we have a very, very easygoing, transparent type relationship. Not any big deal. I'll just have the flowers here. It's not like you could prove her wrong, you know. I got home. I was like a little kid. I had the flowers behind my back. You know, little seven-year-olds, they go into the neighboring field and they pick a bunch of stinkweeds and they bring them home in a bouquet and they have it behind their back. And moms are supposed to go, oh, isn't that precious? And then you can't wait till the kid goes to sleep, so you throw them out. So I had it behind my back. I said, honey, she came in, and I put them out. It's right there, those flowers. And she said, what did you do? And I said, did you ever work for a florist? It's easy to act as though you're apologetic. It's a lot harder to say the words. The best situation is to do both. Say it, and then do it. Say I'm sorry, and then put a little more effort into acting better. If you just act better, I suppose you're counting on time to smooth everything over. Yeah, it's been 3 days, and I've been pretty nice the last 3 days. You know, I emptied the dishwasher, gave a couple extra kisses before I left. I guess that's kind of nonverbal, I'm sorry, isn't it? So, sorry seems to be the one area where it is easier to act better than to say better. 877-573-7825. Thank you for joining me.
Do you have a home project idea but don't know where to start? Let MG Consulting help you take the next step. Local Catholic Matt Guza has been a licensed builder for over 30 years, helping hundreds of homeowners turn their dreams into reality. Set up a consultation with Matt to get practical options for any project, saving time, money, and headaches. Call Matt today at 734-545-8446. 734-545-8446.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
More radios are tuned to this show than are any other kitchen appliances. Yeah. I am the only host in all of Catholic media, not just radio, but you throw in television too, that can take days off your purgatory because I can be so irritating to listen to. And the longer you listen, the quicker your purification. You're putting up with it here. Jeff, Cincinnati, has an adopted daughter. Age 22, out on the streets. Yo. Hi, Jeff.
Dr. Ray.
Yes, sir.
Is this the Dr. Ray?
The with a capital, yeah. T-H-E capital, like the Ohio State University, the Dr. Ray. The other Dr. Ray at San Antonio, he's just the Dr. Ray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. When you make it a long E, it's much more important.
Gotcha. Well, I listen to you every day, man, and my daughter was adopted. We brought her home from the hospital when she was a week old, and we raised her right, Catholic and all that, and she ended up, I don't know where she went. Actually, when her birth father, we went through Catholic Social Services, and so he's known her whole life as well. And when her birth father ended up getting married and having a baby, she kind of flipped the switch and ended up just kind of, I don't know.
Jeff, did she flip a switch or did you see a lot of things that were indicating she was not absorbing the socialization and moralization you were trying to teach her, but you thought, okay, it's not too serious. And then as she got old enough to make her own decisions, she made some real bad ones.
Yes. I never had, you know, it was herself, when I believe. It's never out of her hand, but we've raised her very well. And we didn't, like I said, we didn't raise her bad, but she keeps saying she's adulting, and now that she's of age, she can make her own choices. And it's like everyone is really bad, and it's getting to me.
So she's equating adulting with being homeless.
Well, I don't know. And she's been in and out of the hospital for suicidal attempts, and so I don't really know if she's playing us or if she really is suicidal, and I'm afraid to take that suicidal chance, but you just don't know which way to go.
Are you asking
if
you...
She met this guy, and we had a little battle the other day, and...
Are you asking to bring her back home, Jeff?
Excuse me?
Are you asking to bring her back home?
And my heart says yes, but we're enabling her if we do, because she'll keep doing the same thing over and over again.
So bringing her home is not an option?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean...
You're going to beat yourself up?
I would love to.
Oh, Emmett, hold on. You're going to beat yourself up if something bad happens to her and you say, we should have brought her home?
Pretty much.
You can't guarantee that, Jeff.
Right.
If she's 22 and she says, leave me alone, I want to live my life however poorly and self-destructive it is, she's kept you from doing anything about it. So if something...
Right.
Bad happens, you can't say, we could have stopped it. Who says?
Right.
You got to let go of that one, otherwise you're just going to torment yourself, because this is, how should I put this? Okay, I can't predict it, but in all likelihood, she's going to bounce around quite a bit more.
Right. I mean, she's burned so many bridges now, she doesn't really have anywhere else to go, and... That's what I'm concerned about.
Where's she living?
She told me I didn't talk to her since February, and then we did communicate, and she said they're living out of motels, and then the last 3 days they've been living in her car. And
so she's homeless.
Tearing at the...
What about the baby?
Where's
the baby?
There's no baby involved.
Oh, I thought you said she got pregnant.
No.
Oh.
No, we brought her home from the hospital when she was a week old.
I misunderstood. Okay.
Now she's
by any chance, do you know anything about the history of her pregnancy, her birth mom's pregnancy?
Yeah, actually, the birth mother, the birth mother and birth father split up a year after she was born, and she tends to be turning out a lot like her mother, and she hasn't seen her mother since she was a year old. So.
Is there drug and alcohol? Was there drug and alcohol in the womb?
My daughter now, she's smoking weed. And
no, I mean, when she was in the womb, was there drugs and alcohol? Birth mom?
I doubt it. Okay. I doubt it. Because I know the birth father is not, or he's not into that at all.
Okay, doesn't mean birth mom.
But what I'm thinking is...
Okay, so the issue here for you, Jeff, the issue here for you is what?
And my heart says I don't want her being homeless. But if we let her come back, it's going to be the same thing. She just won't do anything she's asked to do.
And how do you know she wants to come back?
Well, I don't really know that she... She doesn't want to, but that's the last resort. She's lost every job because in and out of the hospital for a week at a time. And she doesn't really want to come back, but she can't hold a job down.
Well, if she's more content to live in her car than she is to come home because she doesn't like your rules, you're in a position of saying, dear Lord, keep her safe, and I'm going to keep praying for her. That's what you have.
I did that the other day, and about 3 days into tormenting myself, I prayed to the Lord and said, I trust in you, I leave this up to you, and it was like a burden lifted off my shoulders, but then, I still worry.
Well, Jeff, it's like this. My friend, you are going to be tortured until you leave this earth, or until, God forbid, your daughter leaves this earth, because you're saying to yourself, we raised her, as we were asked to do, and now she's just getting sucked into the horrid environment that's out there now, very much so.
Right.
This is not a morally sound culture anymore. It's rife with drugs, it's rife with suicidal ideation, it's rife with all kinds of stuff. It's decayed. Right. It's rotten. So given that, there's more and more kids like your daughter. There just are, sadly.
I just try to make her think, I keep telling her, we're not going to be around here forever. We just want to make sure you're okay before we check out.
You can't.
Right.
You say that.
Trust
we want to
Lord.
Make sure you're okay. You can't. You can pray. You can't make sure.
Right. I do that.
And you got to accept that. You have to accept that. Or otherwise, your life and your emotions and your peace will be tied to your daughter's ups, downs, and directions. And there's nothing you can do about it, my friend. At some point, you and your wife...
Oh, by the way, Father, I've seen you face off with Father Larry Richards in Indiana Men's Conference, and that's the first time I saw you. So,
well, you called me
Never
Father,
that
but that's
again.
Okay.
Cool.
He's the Father. I'm just
did I call you Father?
Yeah, you did.
I do that all the time.
So, Jeff, that's what I'm going to leave you with, my friend. You cannot, and I'm speaking to every one of you adult parents out there with these kids who are living atrociously, and you're tearing yourself apart inside. You cannot. You've got to continually remind yourself, I put him in the hands of God. I cannot control this. I do not want to live in this kind of distress day in and day out. You can't.
Trust in the Lord, right, Father?
Well, you can call me doctor if you want. Jeff, God bless you. Thanks for listening all the time.
I'm sorry, doctor.
I don't even listen all the time. Take care, my friend.
We have a Father Ray at our church. That's why
I got you.
Father Ray.
Stealing my name.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff. Talk to you. Shelly is calling from Washington. Got a situation with a 13-year-old grandson, and she believes this is a real neglectful situation. She's even called Child Protective Services, but no follow-through, or at least they followed through and didn't declare this was a situation that needed their intervention. Hi, Shelly.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, I'm glad to do it.
I'm in a similar situation, except my boy's going to be 13 and not 22. At 6 months old, I started taking care of this boy so that he could have naps. They didn't believe in naps. They didn't believe in bedtime. He was just to pass out on the floor. These are dissociated parents. They just weren't involved. It was just so odd.
Are you raising him, Shelly? Shelly, are you raising him?
No, I'm not. But I did care for him from that point.
Right. Do you have any influence in his life now?
No.
Okay.
She's blocked me. I can't even contact.
So she doesn't want your ideas of how to be an appropriate parent and how she's falling short. She doesn't want to hear any of that.
I'm not telling her any of that. She doesn't want me to have contact because I'm related to my son.
Oh. Okay.
When she gets mad at him, she takes him away from me. I've seen him probably 10 times in the last 7 years.
So what are you wanting to do, if anything?
Well, because he's been out of school for over 40 days this year already.
The school would contact the authorities.
They're not. I went and talked to the principal, and she said, in this atmosphere, there's tons of kids like that, and the truancy doesn't do anything.
Okay.
It's still all connected to COVID, you know, it can't do anything.
Mm.
So I did call CPS and told them about him. You know, he's on tech 24/7, anytime he's awake, and now he's on medication because supposedly he has insomnia, upper grade insomnia. Well, when you're on a computer all that time, maybe you do need drugs to finally go to sleep. The doctor has been worthless. He's been underweight his whole up to the 7 years, and nothing ever happened. And it is tearing me. His future is going down the toilet. Both parents, like I said, did not graduate. So education is not important to them.
Hey there, Shelly. That's a hard break. I will talk to you on the other side. Don't go away. This is Dr. Ray. Thank you for joining me. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call if you would like to talk about circumstances, situation, some that you can intervene and some that it's tearing you up because you can't. Ray Grandy. A combination of virile femininity, masculine sensitivity, and physical spirituality. Doing the show with my eyes closed. Catholic Radio's Man for All Reasons. Very nice to have you here. I'm talking to Shelley, who's got a 13-year-old grandson that she's pretty much been written out of his life. His mother doesn't want Shelley involved. Shelley sees all kinds of things that concern her. At this point, the school hasn't done anything about it. Shelley's gone so far as to call Children's Protective Services, but they apparently haven't intervened, and she says, what do I do? It's tearing me up because this poor kid's life's going to be ruined. Still there, Shelley?
I am.
Well, I don't know what the situation is. I'm going to take you at your word. It sounds pretty bad. What is tearing you up?
His future.
Yeah,
his lack of education and future.
I understand that.
I can give him trips, things to go places. I can give him activities. She goes nowhere except the grocery store and work.
Well, Shelley, you could probably spend the next hour describing all the ways that she's falling short as a mother in your eyes, but that's not the issue. The issue is you can't do anything about it.
I can't. I started the rosary recently.
Well, that's good. That's doing something about it.
Maybe Mother Mary can help me.
Let me give you some encouragement. It may be that by the time this boy turns 17, 18, 19, if he wants some stability and reliability in his life, he may turn back to Grandma and say, can I live with you? Can I be with you? Because my parents all along have just sort of washed their hands of me, just allowed me to do all kinds of things just to stay out of their hair. That's the day you can maybe look forward to. And hopefully when that day comes, he won't be so far gone in his lack of socialization that he can't manage to live with you in any kind of cooperative way. But that's one thing you can look for through your prayers. Maybe you talk to your son and say, hey, is there some way I can spend some time with him, take him out to eat? Just do some things. Let him be with me. We'll do some things together. Maybe your son will intervene and say, yeah, I want my mom to be able to see her grandson again. Did you try that?
Well, he's not allowed either. They're divorced. He's not allowed either.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so wait a minute. So he gets no visitation either?
None.
Well, doesn't he have court-ordered visitation?
She works for the county. She works for the prosecuting attorney. She works for domestic violence people. And so she goes in front of the family court guy, the judge, all the time. So when they're together with issues, she, since she knows the judge, gets everything she wants. So no, he has been...
So he's been told you can't have visitation, whatever she is told.
Until you do whatever she requires. He did it all.
Shelley, these are the toughest situations for a psychologist. Because we just can't accept when we can't do something about something. We can't accept it. And so what we do is we tether our emotional well-being to people who are living poorly or immorally. Or self-destructively. We can't stand it. Do you realize I could not be a psychologist if I thought that way? What I hear, and the fact that I can't do anything about it much of the time because they come in for a session or two or three and they stop coming or they don't change. Now, granted, you might say, yeah, but Dr. Ray, that's not your grandson. Well, I've had to extrapolate that to those close to me because there's people I love that are close to me and living in ways that I can see are going to hurt them so badly, and I can't do anything about it. So here's what I would say to you. See if somehow she lets you contact her and say, I'd like to just spend a little bit of time with him. If she's willing to do that. She's probably not, but you can try. So you can at least say, I tried. And hope the day comes when he wants to see his grandma again. And keep praying that rosary, my dear.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Thank you for calling. This is Dr. Ray. What else we got here? Well, that's a rough situation. We got a lot of these situations that are just brutal. Brutal! And it's fascinating. I think about, would this... I'm reading right now Dr. Peter Kreef's book, from Calvinist to Catholic. And he's talking about his childhood. And his childhood paralleled a lot of my own. And it was a much simpler childhood. And you didn't have... He said I knew no one on drugs. He said I knew no one that was divorced. And that was kind of the same for me. Yeah, we had a couple kids in my high school that were kind of... We called them the hoods. You know, they were the ones that were living on kind of socially unruly. But man, not this kind of this heavy, heavy pathology. Huinling is calling from Texas. I'm pronouncing that right. I hope he... Huinling, is that right? Huinling, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Thank you, Dr. Roy, for taking my call. I called you a few months ago, greater concern about my daughter cutting herself, and he said that she kind of rebelled. And recently, she overdosed herself twice and was admitted to hospital. And now she said school is depressing. So now I just take day by day. But my son saw, witnesses, you know, his younger sister go through this. And due to my health, and then there's a day that I have a severe panic attack and I have transferred out by 911. So my son, I'm worried for my daughter, and now my son, he's 15 and my daughter 13. And I'm really overwhelmed. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Are you seeing a counselor? Huinling, this sounds pretty serious and it's pretty complicated, and it's not something that on a radio call you can get a quick answer to. Are you seeing a counselor or someone to help guide you through some of this?
My daughter, I took my daughter to see the psychiatrist, which is like this afternoon, and Thursday she's going to go to the psychologist. I have one of mine too, but lately I don't have time for me.
Well, you better make time, my dear. You better make time. You can't sit there and say, well, okay, this daughter of mine has had some serious acting out, and my son is shook up looking at his little sister thinking, what is going on to my family? And you're saying I'm having panic attacks. Well, at this point, someone to help walk you through this is what you need. I would say with your son, sit down with him and talk with him about how he can learn from his sister. Does he see this stuff as incredibly self-destructive? And he'll say yes. And then you'll say, do you ever want to do anything like this? He'll say, no. So I'm trying to learn from my sister. Hopefully you can help him realize that he doesn't have to walk in the same footsteps. It's Dr. Ray. Situations today, things that are basically saying make that person be different, and that's just tough. And somebody would say, well, can't you give him some direction? Yeah, you can. The problem is, will that direction be accepted? Let's talk to Jennifer from San Antonio, Texas, where I was Thursday. I don't know if Jennifer was at our banquet or not. If she wasn't, I'm really not going to give her that good of advice. Jennifer, were you at the banquet or not?
No, I wish I could have been. My question is, my son, who's 11, he says quite often, everything is my fault, or or whoever he's talking to, it's their fault, your fault kind of thing. He never takes personal responsibility for his own actions, and he thinks that he is the adult, and he talks down to us. He's very mouthy and just back talks. And
why do you allow that, Jennifer? Why do you allow it?
Well, I try to ask the dad for help. We're divorced, and I try to ask the dad for help, and he says, well, he never acts that way for me. And, you know, my son is scared to death of him, so of course he's not going to act that way for him.
So why are you, okay, Jennifer, let me help you. Let me help you. Why are you allowing this 11-year-old to mistreat you?
I'm trying not to. I tell
okay,
him,
what
you
do
know,
you, what
you
do
are
do?
Disrespecting me.
Well, okay, you're talking to him, but what do you do when he does this?
I try to put him in his room. I try to, you know, take
Well, he won't
him
go to his room. He'll fight you, right?
Oh, he always does. He screams okay. over me. He talks over okay. me. He's just very
so,
rude.
So he's out of control.
Yes, and okay. and that's why I try to ask his dad for help, and his dad just will not help me.
Well, you're in a divorce situation, so it doesn't surprise me that the dad doesn't want to help you because he probably thinks you're a bad mom, right?
Oh, of course. Everything okay. is my fault.
All right. So, at this point, you got a couple things to wrestle with. One is, something is keeping you from disciplining this boy. That's one. And the other is, you don't know what to do, even if you would discipline him. Correct?
No, I'm at my wit's end.
Okay.
I'm just between a rock and a hard ball.
Well, you're not allowing yourself to be mom with all your leverage. You have all kinds of leverage. Every time he mouths off, you can give him a 400-word essay, but you don't. He won't do it, so then you say, what now? And you can cut out all his privileges. You can just simply say, all your privileges are gone until I get my essay. You can do that. You can do all kinds of things. You can put cereal and milk for his lunch because he hasn't written his essay yet. I mean, you control everything, Jennifer. You control everything. And within law and within reason, you're allowed. Okay, let me just ask you a couple quick questions. Does he have computer games?
I don't let video games. I don't have like a Nintendo or anything like that for him.
Does
he
get
might
on
have
the
like a little fake, one of those real quick old school video things that maybe has two or three.
Why does he
games
have that? Why does he have Jennifer? Why does he have that if he mistreats you? Why?
Well, that's why I put it up. But he doesn't have, like, a Sega or anything electronics, and he just goes berserk.
Wait, okay, I missed you, honey. You cut out for a second. Maybe you pushed your mute.
Oh.
You were saying something about electronics? Okay, something's going on with... Yeah, something's going on with the phone there. I don't know if she'll jump back in. Okay, well, we're going to have to let Jennifer go. Hopefully she'll call back. Let me attempt to offer some thoughts on this. Oh boy, where to begin? I deal with a lot of parents who come in my office with 11-year-olds who are just flat out defiant. They're defiant. And 90% of the time, it's not the child. You look at the child and you say, well, you know, that's the way he is. He's unruly, he's strong-willed, he's oppositional, he's ODD. But 90% of the time, there is so much a parent can do to make the situation better, to raise a better kid, and to have more peace with their child. That's true. And it saddens me, it distresses me, I try not to think about it because it's everywhere, that so many parents are living in situations where they just cannot handle this child. I have two books that might help Jennifer. One is called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It is the most common discipline questions I get asked as a shrink. And the other is Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens. The Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime book takes questions ages 2 to 18. Standing Strong takes questions roughly 11 on up. You can get them one through a publisher at Franciscan or one through Sophia Pressy, WTN. Or you go to my website if you want a signed copy, drray.com. There's so much in there to put a parent back in charge. So much. You don't need to live this way. But we do. It gets out of control. And I wrestle with why there's so much of this. Part of it is we've abandoned God as a culture, by and large. Oh, no, Dr. Ray, you know, you still 70% of people say they're Christian. Yeah, but the question is, like Father Larry says, many are called Christians. How many are disciple Christians? So that's the first thing. You know, we don't run our families according to a given moral code from God. Second thing is broken families. I mean, here's Jennifer, single mom, trying to deal with this 11-year-old boy. And he's getting feisty, and he's getting feistier. She's trying to deal with him, and she's totally at a loss. She doesn't know what to do because he doesn't play by any rules. She can try to discipline him, but he'll sabotage her. He'll get nastier, and maybe he'll throw a fit like a 3-year-old will throw a fit. So now what? Now you got the culture, too. This is not a farm in 1880. You've got a culture that essentially says, come on, come on with us. Look at all the stuff I can give you. Look at what I can do. Look how old-fashioned your parents are. Look how backward they are. Come on, you don't have to live like that. And, of course, that makes the kids resentful and more defiant. So all of this, and it takes a lot of strength on a parent's part and some willingness to say, okay, what do I got to do to get this under control? What do I got to do? Because many times they just simply say, I don't know, it's all out of control and I can't do anything about it. No, yes you can. You have a massive amount of leverage. Massive. But for whatever the reason, it's not embraced. All right, I'll be back after this.
I don't think we've replaced our siding since we moved in 20 years ago. But I'm sure it's still fine, right?
We better call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor.
Damaged siding can cause mold buildup and weaken your home structure. Protect your family by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your siding, roof, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
St. Ignatius of Loyola describes the challenging characteristics of spiritual desolation in the fourth rule of his 14 rules for the discernment of spirits. St. Ignatius states that finding oneself totally slothful, tepid, sad, falls within the experience of spiritual desolation. Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "The adverb totally is powerful here. Ignatius applies it to three further forms of spiritual desolation. Persons in such desolation may experience themselves as entirely slothful, tepid, and sad. When a person finds themselves totally slothful, they lack spiritual vitality. When a person is tepid, they lack spiritual zeal. And when they experience a sadness connected to their life of faith, they lack interior joy. Have you asked for the grace to identify and reject spiritual desolation in your life today?"
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Sounds like something from Superfly. I want to be Super Guy, but I'm trapped. Trapped in an aging psychologist's body. Michelle from Arizona has a daughter in a level 2 girls' home. I don't know in Arizona what a level 2 girls' home is. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I called a month ago, but we didn't have time to talk much. So a level 2 facility, it's called Florence Crittenden. It's in Phoenix, and level 2 basically is a step down from level 1, which is complete lockdown mental facility for teens.
Mm-hmm.
So she was in those facilities twice since January.
Whew.
And 10 days for the first one, came home for 3 weeks, completely busted out again, and, I mean, suicidal.
Yikes.
Threats to us, everything. So she's been this way for 4 years. Before that, but mostly the last 4 years, she's on lots of meds. She's got therapy, everything. We're a Christian family. She's adopted. She's the last of 10 children, and we're beside ourselves in that just one more year. She just turned 17, and the place she's at now, she's been there a month. She ran away from there as well. That's number 18 runaway in since she was 9 years old.
Ooh.
And she doesn't want to come home, and
okay.
She doesn't want to be there, and she doesn't want anything except, quote, her freedom.
Can you get can you get support for a therapeutic foster home?
So that is our last. I think we could when they discharge her. It's a 3-month minimum, 4-month max facility, and I'm seeing they're not going to help, be able to help much. Yes, I'm afraid of. I don't want to give up custody.
Well, you wouldn't.
Ultimate.
I'm not sure you would.
Okay.
I know people that have had their children placed in a therapeutic foster setting. Not sure exactly the legalities on all that. If you say you don't want to give up custody, but at some point, a year from now, you're going to lose custody anyway, right?
Yes.
She's had a 4-year history of, I want no part of you people. I want to do what
not
I
much.
Want.
Yep.
So what do you suspect will happen when she comes home?
Well, first of all, we're not accepting her home unless she agrees that she wants to be home and that she's worked on in therapy. These are our requirements. She works on in therapy. The reasons why she left is suicidal, keeps running away, hates us, doesn't want to be here. So far, she's not willing to do that.
Well, if she's not willing... Okay, if she's not willing to do that, where does she go?
I don't know. We're at the end. I want to go pick her up and take her to a farm somewhere in the middle of nowhere and duke it out with her for the next year and hope I do some good. And that's where I'm at.
Okay.
I just don't know.
I'm assuming I'm assuming your first 9 kids were bio kids and then this young lady was adopted?
No, we had 5 bio kids. My husband's, one together, mine, one. And then we adopted 5 children. We did foster care for 30 years and therapeutic care, the whole 9 yards. And she's our last. She's our youngest.
Well, you realize when you take in a lot of tough kids like that, it's not unusual that one of them, maybe more, is going to, at least in the near future, live their life terribly.
Yes, sir, I know. We know. We've lived this our whole life, but it doesn't make it feel better. I'm asking, do you have any suggestions on a place we could put her, even if it's, we can't afford $10,000 a month, we've researched places, but I just can't help but wonder if we found a Christian-based place that we could actually afford. But I've researched, and everyone I find, my husband researches it, and he finds things that are really bad that happen there, and that's not good. And we're just, I don't want to give up. And I feel like putting her in therapeutic foster would be like, that's it. We're giving up. So she's 18, and then she ages
Doesn't mean you're giving up. It basically means that that's your least bad option for now. But also, if you, let's say you say, here are conditions, and she says, okay, I'll come home, and I'll do that, and then within 3 weeks she's not doing that, and she runs away, or she threatens suicide, or she threatens you guys...
But she acted on it. That's why it all blew up.
That's dangerous. So at that point, you can tell the court, we don't feel safe with her there. We don't feel safe at all.
Definitely.
So, and the court will step in, and they will place her. They will place her in one of their homes, or they will place her in some facility. I've had children be placed in, for example, a group home setting for a year. Prior to turning 18. I've had that happen.
18.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can discuss the situation with a probation officer at juvenile court and say, here's what's going on. She's already had a history of threatening us. She's already attacked us, so it's a given. What are our options if this happens, if she comes home? If she is totally uncooperative and said, there's no way I'm going to live with you people, then the social worker at this home that she's in now, this level two, meet with that social worker and say, all right, what do we got now? What's available? And if they say nothing's available, you're either going to have to pay $10,000 a month to put her in an outward bound program or something like that. Then you may have to turn to juvenile court because they have the facilities, especially with kids who are threatening their parents. Thank you for joining me today. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program Doctor is In. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, Eric Dumont. And boy, I'll tell you what, say some prayers for all those folks who called today because they were in some tough situations. Holy mackerel. Ooh. Walk with God. Find some peace there.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.